second Aliyah of Parshas Metzora is focused on the process of Tarach HaMetzora, the purification of the Metzora, as it says, V'shochat esakeves, v'pema sheyishchat esachatos, v'so'ilo b'mkhem ha'kodesh. It's going through the ritual of the offering of the korbanos for the purification of the Metzora. And it starts with the asham. The keves, which is brought as an asham, a certain kind of a sin offering, and the pasuk describes lakacha kohen midam ha'asham, nasana kohen al tzruch eizen hamitaher hayimanis. The kohen will take from the blood of the asham, and the kohen will place it on the lobe of the ear of the mitaher, of the one who's coming to be purified, the right lobe. V'albayin yaday hayimanis, on his right thumb. V'albayin raglay hayimanis, on his right big toe. And then the kohen will take from the leg hashamen, from the measure of oil that he brings, and he pours it onto his left palm, and he dips his finger in there, and he sprinkles seven times opposite the mikdash, and then from the remnant he places on the right earlobe, on the right thumb, on the right toe, of the big toe of the kohen, and the rest he pours on the head of the kohen. That's the seder, that's the order of things for the purification of the mitzvah, the application of the dam, of the blood, and of the shemen, and of the oil on these parts of the mitzvah. Why is this done? What's the nature of this process of purification? Very hard to understand. The Ibn Ezra here says a cryptic comment, and he says, "Taima yadua mi mekayme v'hine hametar mi hatzaras shubeguf k'may hakayin shiymale yodai." He says the purification of the tzaras, which is in the guf, which is in the body of the mitzayra, is similar to the kayin shiymale yodai, the kayin whose hands are filled. That's an expression that the pasuk uses. Asher yimale yodai is when they would consecrate or induct the kohen into the avoda. Rashi says, whenever you put it, I'm sorry?
Miluim,
right, at the end of the miluim. And the yimale yodai is, you put the tool in his hand. That's the expression, as Rashi says. So the expression miluim. So he says, it's similar, the two are similar. The ritual of placing the dam on these spots was done as well to the Kohen Gadol and to the Kohanim, as described in the Parsha a few weeks ago in Parshas Tzav, on the day that they were being introduced into the Kuhuna. Ki ha'avayin k'may ha'tzaras b'nefesh, and the Ibn Ezra goes on and says, because the sin is like a tzaras of the soul, v'habayin mokayim chibur, and the bayin, the thumb, is a point of connection. V'u'ikar kol ha'masim, it is the root of all actions. V'yimonis, the right side, bavur koyach atzad ha'yamin, because that's the stronger side. V'atznuch, zecher lishmei asher tzuva, and the earlobe is to remember the commandments which he was given. So it's sort of a little bit of a cryptic explanation as to what it is. Cryptic to us, at least. I don't understand so clearly the kavana, the intention of the mitzayra of the Ibn Ezra in explaining this thing. He's explaining significant limbs, the right side, strength, the ear, to remember the commandments. Others say things about, you know, remember mitzayra comes for lashon hara, so the earlobe is supposed to be the shield for lashon hara. The Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the earlobe as sort of a, like an eyelid. You have an eyelid, so this is the earlid, and that thing. But the Ibn Ezra also points out this very big cryptic thing of the common property between the Metzaira and how he's purified, and the Levi, or the Kayan, excuse me, and how he's prepared for the Aveda, the placement of the Dam on the same spots. And aside from the Ibn Ezra, I don't know if anybody knows anybody else who discusses this. The Ibn Ezra doesn't explain it too much, right? He then goes on to just explain the issues by the Metzaira. Anybody who knows anybody who explains this, I would appreciate it. I've looked great, what?
High and low.
High and low, and I don't find a lot of explanation for this unusual, common thing between the Metzaira and the Kayan. So we're going to try to talk about it a little bit here tonight, and start actually with a different explanation than the Ibn Ezra, which is found in Rabbeinu Bachya, not in our parsha. Rabbeinu Bachya has no comment, as far as we have from him, into why this happens for the Metzaira, but he explains these limbs and their choice for the application of the Dam and the Shemen when it comes to the Kayan. And Ibn Ezra says as follows. The Rabbeinu Bachya says as follows. Yireli b'sidurei vorem halalu. It seems to me, in the arrangement or the ordering of these limbs in this avoda, the world is divided into three parts. Olam ha-malachim, there's the world of the malachim, of the angels, the uppermost world. Olam ha-galgalim, the world of the constellations, the world we can see, the sky, the heavens. And Olam ha-shafel, and the world down below. Those are three tiers. There's what we would call sometimes Shmei Shamayim, right, the uppermost heavens, the heavens that we can't see, the heavens where the Rabbeinu Shalom's courts are with the Malachim residing there. And then you have the heavens of the sky, and then you have the world down here below. And continues the Rabbeinu Bachya, and he sets up here a beautiful structure. Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed here about the Mishkan. And the Mishkan also has three worlds. Also has three levels. Lifnim in aparoches, keneged olam hamalochim. Inside, beyond the paroches, the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKodoshim, that corresponds to the world of the malochim. That's the world that nobody really sees. The Kohen Gadol goes in there on Yom HaKippurim. That's the place of the Onan, that's the place of Hashem's presence. Michutz laparoches, shu'el mayed, keneged olam hagalgalim. Then, inside the building, but outside of the pareches, in the Kodesh, not the Kodesh HaKodoshim, that corresponds to the world of the heavens that we see, the world of the galaxies, of the constellations. Chatzar HaMishkan, and then there's the outside of the Mishkan, the courtyard, which is Keneged Olam HaShafel, that corresponds to the lower world. Three levels in the Mishkan, just like there are three levels within the world. Okay, now we pause there for a moment. We understand, we've talked about many times, how the creation of the Mishkan corresponds in a certain microcosmic form to the creation of the world. 6 days Hashem worked, and on the seventh day He rested. From that we learn that we're supposed to work for 6 days, and on the seventh day we rest. Hashem worked 6 days to create the world, and on the seventh day He rested from creating the world. We work 6 days. What are the malachos that we talk about? The malachos which go into building the Mishkan. And on the seventh day we rest from that. It's the human version of the completion of the world. We've talked about it many times, many angles. The Medrash says that it says, Vayechal akim bayayim hashvi melachtay asher osa. But when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, it says, Vateichel kol hamalacha. Says the Medrash that the malacha of creation was actually completed by Shlomo when Shlomo created his own creation, which was the Migdash Shalamata. And there are many indications of this. Last that we'll mention, but not least, is what the Gemara says, that Bezalel, who was charged with building the Mishkan, was Yodea Letzarif Oisiyos Shebehen Nivru Shamayim Varetz. Bezalel knew the secrets of how to put together the letters that were used to create heaven and earth, because after all, Hashem created the world, Bidvar Hashem, Baruch She'amar V'Hayaholam. Hashem created the world with a word. So says the Rabbeinu Bachya, that just as in Hashem's big world, there is the highest world, the middle world, and the lower world, in the Migdash also, there were all these three sanctai. Right, there was the inner one, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kodesh, and the courtyard, the Chatzar HaMayor, what we know as the Azara. Al-Kain, Hutzrach HaMishkan Hazeh, Liyay Shem Echad, Makir Es Beirei, Miyuchad La'Avayit Avedis Hashem, Yisbarach Vua Kayan HaGadol. And he says, and therefore, Because in this mini world, which corresponds to those three, which has elements corresponding to those three tiers, those three worlds, there had to be somebody in this Mishkan, someone who would recognize his Creator and was set aside to serve Hashem, and that's the Kohen Gadol. And this person will also have elements of three worlds. And he says, that's a person. Right? Okay, it's not just the Kohen Gadol. Every person has within him a representation of these three levels, these three worlds. Because the person is known as an Olam Katan. Right? And that's an expression which is found all over the place. When we think of a person as an Olam Katan, well, we think about the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, where we warn the Edim, the witnesses in a court case, who are a capital case, they say you have to realize you're trying to say something to harm someone. You have to know Hashem created man alone. Right? Just one person. To tell you that a person who harms a nefesh achas is like he, right, is like he destroyed a whole world, right? We think of a person as a whole world, right? Like Adam HaRishon was a whole world. This is a little bit more of a detailed version of Olam Katan. There we say Hashem created the whole world for one person, so one person is worth the whole world. Here, we're describing the person as being symmetric, matching to the world itself, being structured like a world itself. Right, and the Rabbeinu Bachir does discuss this at length in Bereishis when he speaks about Bitzalmeinu Kidmuseinu, right, in our image, in our form, where he speaks about this idea. Uvoy Olam Hadibur. So what's within this world of man? There's Olam Hadibur. There's the world of speech. V'hu HaReish, that's the head. The part of the person which is from where the faculty of speech draws. And the faculty of speech, as we know, is considered to be the highest of the faculties of man. The ruach memalala, the nefesh chaya, the special soul of the person, is the kayach hamedaber, the power of speech. And that's up here. And then there's olam achius. Then there's the core of his vitality, which is the trunk of the person that includes the heart, v'zeu min hachaze v'ad mosnav, ki b'emtzoz gufay hu halev shu balatnua k'neged olam hagalgalim. So he says, because, you know, there, the heart, the higher part of the person, is the next part of the person, the heart is the kayach, the strength of chius, the vitality which is in the person, which gets the person to move, and he compares that to the middle world, like the olam agalgalim, the olam ateva, and then there's the world of nature, which is mimasnav ulamata, from the waist and below, keneged olam hashafel, corresponding to the lowest world. Those are the three tiers that are found within man himself. Found within man himself. The raglayim, the legs, the bottom part of the person is always considered, always associated with that, the lower part of man. Ulufi shakarbonos, hem kiyum ha'olam. And, okay, so now we have it. We have the world, we have the Mishkan, we have the person. Right? See how neatly he puts it all? And he says, karbonos are kiyum ha'olam. Karbonos, we are told, we talked about this earlier, are there to uphold the world. They're what keep the world going. Remember that during the Mamadais for the Yisraelim who were thinking about focusing on the Karbonos which were brought on behalf of the Jewish people, what did they read from the Torah? They read Bereishis. They read, over the days of Bereishis, they read the whole story of Bereishis and the whole story of Bri'as Olam. Why? Because it is through the karbonos that the world is maintained. Vishu nechlak l'shloisha chalokim elu. And the world is divided amongst these three parts, these three levels. Hutzach Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-sholem l'aseis min hadam shukaporas ha-nefesh b'shloisha evayim halolu min ha-guf shein shloisha z'chelke ha-guf shel ha-kayin ha-mechap. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to place this on these three spots on the kayin. The Kohen who's going to bring these korbanos within the Mishkan to address all of these three worlds. And what's that? The earlobe, the tnuch eizen arim, is part of the head, and that's the place. And of course, the ear is the receiver of the koyach hadibur. Then there's the hand, right, which is considered associated with the trunk of the body, the middle part, the elam hachius, the middle part, and bayin ragleh hayaman is zehu elam hateva. And then the toe is from the bottom section of the person. So he's I mean, obviously, it's not so hard to see, once, of course, it's easy to see it after he points it out, that these three parts are on three levels of the person, from the head to the middle of the body to the bottom of the body, right? That works, we would say, sort of head to toe, literally. But on the way he's describing it, you know, these three worlds and the three levels that the Kayan, the human being, has to encompass, and the Mishkan has to encompass, and the world has to encompass, that's how he brings it together and says, and that's why the Kayan needs to have this on these three levels. Beautiful. Very nice thought. Still needs more understanding as to what it is, what we're trying to unify here by these three. By these three. And we're going to try to be mamik. We're going to try to get a little deeper into that. And we also have to understand, and here the Rabbeinu Bachya goes silent, as far as I know, is that then what is it about it that by the Mitzayra we're going and we're probing, we're trying to accomplish the same things. By the Kayan, who's doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, which corresponds to these three worlds, no, Mela, right? We can understand. By the Mitzayra, it's a little harder. It's a little harder for us to be able to understand. The Ibn Ezra in Parshas Yisrael addresses a question, fundamental question, which he cites in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, the author of the Sefer HaKuzari, who asks a question, a fundamental question, which often actually end up talking about this time of year in different contexts. And the question is, when Hashem came to the Jewish people at Mount Har Sinai, he introduced himself as Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God who took you out from Eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avodim, from Egypt, from the slave house. And the question is, why did Hashem, what Rabbi Yehuda Halevi asked Ibn Ezra was, why does Hashem not introduce himself as Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Barasi Shamayim Boretz? Why didn't he say, I am Hashem your God who created heaven and earth? It's a much bigger deal than having taken the Jewish people out one spring day from Mitzrayim. That's an event, as opposed to a whole big picture. He quotes this question, he says, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi asked me this question. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi was no longer alive at the time that the Ibn Ezra records this question from him. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, who's now not alive, asked me this question. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, of course, in the Kuzari, in the beginning of the Kuzari, goes through this question in the way of the dialogue that exists between the king of the Khazars, who was searching for the true faith, and the Jewish scholar. He says, tell me what you believe in. He says, I believe in the God who took us out of Egypt and spoke to us at Sinai. So he says, ugh, I knew I shouldn't have come to the Jews, and so I saved them for last, because I thought it was pretty hopeless, but believe in that. Believe in God who created heaven and earth. Right? So, which is, of course, this question. And Rabbi Yehuda Halevi responded in his own way. The way he responded was, he said, that we didn't see Hashem create heaven and earth, but we did see Him take us out of Mitzrayim. We did see Him speak to us at Har Sinai. And that's why Hashem says, I'm the God who you know from this. Whatever else I did, whatever other things you can extrapolate or believe that I did now, but this is where you saw me in action. The Ibn Ezra has a different approach. And the Ibn Ezra uses the language that we've been using tonight, Rabbeinu Bachya's language about the worlds. And he says as follows. he starts getting onto a lengthy background, and he says, "Anochi Hashem Elokecha." He says, "I am Hashem Elokecha." V'zeh lo yuchal lo'avin rak mishuch uchacham mufla. He says, "A person can only understand this someone who's very wise." Ki kvar pirashti b'parshas Veilah Shmos. Ki zeh Hashem levadei hu ha'emer b'lei shinui ve'in zulasoi shaychenar v'lei kamo yoshev kedem sela. The name of Hashem that we use here in the beginning of that Aseret HaDibros, name we don't pronounce, that's an unchanging, completely freestanding name of Hashem that sustains the whole world, the world, Olam HaElyon, the upper world, B'Kaychai. V'Olam HaEmtzoi B'Kaych Hashem U'Malochav HaKadoshim Shem V'Olam HaElyon. The middle world stands only by the strength of the upper world. V'Zehu Olam HaShafel Sh'anu Bo'i Ma'amadei B'Kaych Hashem. And the world which we're standing in all the way down here, it stands by the strength of Hashem and by those the world above it and the world beyond that. The world is almost 5,000 years old, says the Ibn Ezra. Right? The Ibn Ezra was writing his Pirush about 900 years ago. The world is almost 5,000 years old. Yisrael levada maidim bazeh. Only the Jewish people believe this. V'chachmei umes enem achishim ki Hashem hu levada yaseh shamayim v'oretz. And the believers of the nations, or the wise people of the nations rather, they don't deny that Hashem alone created the heaven and the earth. Rakhem ayimrim, but they say. Ki Hashem v'oyse tadir b'li reishis v'achris. Hashem is unchanging. And so, there's no beginning or end to his activities. V'hine Hashem, so they can't put a start date on it. Hashem doesn't bother with the deed, you know, to say, oh, I want to create something at this point in time. V'hine Hashem asa oisis u'maisim b'mitzvah macho haitziyam maishu li'es lohem le'lekim. Now, comes along Yitzias Mitzrayim, where Hashem reaches out on one specific day and does miracles to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. And this is what Moshe said. This is what Hashem did for the Jewish people, what he did for nobody else. Hashem created that world, the sun and the moon and the stars. Hashem put the fate of the world in the hands of the way the world turns. And the Ibn Ezra invokes the concept of the mazolos, of the different signs, the different galaxies that various nations may be subject to, right? Concepts which we don't understand, which we don't know well, which some would dispute, right? But one thing is for sure is that the idea of just the world turning, which is represented by the sun and the moon and the stars and the cold weather and the hot weather and the seasons and the days and nights and everything else, what the Pasuk referred to as Memshal, as control. On the fourth day of creation, when Hashem created the sun and the moon and the stars, what did He say? What am I creating them for? Limshal bayayim uvalayla. Right? They will rule. They will rule in the day. Right? They will rule in the night. They are given some special powerful position, which is why, of course, they were the object of so much avodah zarah, so much idol worship, of so much paganism, because of their vaunted position and their significance within the world. Says continues the Ibn Ezra, V'hinei haisa b'mareches Yisrael kithikechvei mazalam li'aysay da'evdim. The Jewish people, according to their stars, should have still been slaves in Mitzrayim. But Hashem, with His strength, because of His love for our avos, Hashem intervened, and He made things happen down here that went beyond the middle world, the world of nature, the normal rules, the Haitz Yisrael Mishus HaMazalos Liyais Loi La'am Nachala. And He took the Jewish people out from under the power of the stars to be His nation, His portion. V'avur ze amru kad meinenu, ein mazal Yisrael. And it is for this that our sages said, The Gemara says the Jewish people are not subject to the mazel. So basically what the Ibn Ezra says is like this. The reason why Hashem doesn't introduce himself as the creator of heaven and earth is because when Hashem created heaven and earth, he created this whole structure of worlds. He created the order of nature. And what Yetzias Mitzrayim shows us is not that Hashem is the God of nature. What Yetzias Mitzrayim shows us is that Hashem sometimes puts the pause button on nature and will intervene and will involve himself directly with B'nai Yisrael Am Karevai. To tell us Hashem created the heaven and the earth is magnificent. It speaks about the power of Hashem, but it doesn't speak about the connection of Hashem to us. And if you say that's the person who created the magnificent system that does A, B, and C, so you've shown how magnificent and powerful the person is, but at the same time you've really shown maybe how distant the person is. But if that person then comes down off of their perch, comes out from behind their computer, from behind their management position, and they come in and they take you by the hand and they say hello, then you're demonstrating something else entirely. And that's what Hashem was demonstrating. That's what Hashem was demonstrating at Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that was what he was invoking when he introduced himself to us at Ma'amad Har Sinai. The ability to transcend, not to be stuck in this structure, but to somehow reach out, to be able to reach beyond it. And on this, the Chazal say, Ein Mazel Yisrael. It's worthwhile to note, and I think very significant in light of the Ibn Ezra. When did Chazal say, Ein Mazel Yisrael? On what did they say that the Jewish people are not subject to the stars? They said it when Avram Avinu spoke to Hashem at the Bris Bein Habsarim. When Hashem came to Avram Avinu and he says, I want to promise you that this about your future. And it says, Hashem said to Avram, don't worry, your reward is great. And Avram Avinu said, but what can you give me when I'm childless? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it says, Vayetzei Esai HaChutza. Hashem took Avram Avinu outside. And he said, look at the stars. Can you count them? So your children. So will be your children. And Chazal say it's not that they were sitting inside and Hashem took him outside to the deck, but he took him outside of Chalolei Shalolim, outside of the space within which the world exists. He took him outside of the stars. And he said, go look down at the stars. Instead of seeing the stars as being above you, the Jewish children, the Jewish people are like the stars. They're not subject to them. They're in the position of power. And he says, that's the way your children will be. It was then in that ma'amad, at that meeting between Avram Avinu and the Rabbonu Shel Olam, that the conversation continued to Hashem saying, I'm going to give you this land. And Avram Avinu says, show me. And Hashem says, your children are going to be strangers in a foreign land for 400 years, and then I'm going to take them out. And now you see the beauty. The Ibn Ezra says, and what was the meaning of Yetzias Mitzrayim? It was that Hashem showed that the Jewish people aren't inside, tachas, beneath the stars. We're not tachas Hashemesh. We're above it. That's what Hashem showed with Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that was the promise originally made and the position originally defined for Avram Avinu right there at that same event, which would ultimately be borne out in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, so what do we have? We've learned about these three worlds. And we've seen that besides the beauty of the fact that the Mishkan represents the three worlds, that a person on a certain level represents the three worlds, but the world also has the three worlds. And that Yetzias Mitzrayim, that demonstration of Hashem's involvement and his hashgacha on the world, can be described in this way, as the Ibn Ezra said it, that the upper world was united with the lower world. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem, didn't make sort of like a separation between them, that this does this, this does that, but Hashem reached down from the upper world to the lower world in order to be able in order to be able to involve himself with Kol Yisrael, in order to be able to make that connection. You understand that the Mishkan, as we've discussed many times, is the crowning achievement and conclusion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We've learned innumerable times at this point, Im Tuchal Lisporosam, the words of the Ramban in the Hakdama to Sefer Shmos, where the Ramban says Sefer Shmos is the book of Geula, the book of redemption. But redemption ends in Parshas Beshalach. But it continues through the building of the Mishkan. Why, says the Ramban? Because the Geula isn't complete when you're not working anymore. The Geula is complete when the Jewish people are back where they need to be, with the presence of Hashem, Aleo Aleim, and their tent together. So the building of the Mishkan completes the process. When Hashem comes and dwells amongst the Jewish people, as we point out, always together with that, is that when we crossed over the Yam Suf, it was the song of the Yam Suf was Tviyemei v'sitayemei b'har nachalosecha mochayin l'shivtecha pa'alto Hashem migdash Hashem konan yodecha. You're going to bring them and plant them on your mountain for the migdash that you build. The conclusion of Yetzias Mitzrayim is in the building of the Mishkan and of the migdash. And, you know, it shows itself in that on Rosh Chodesh Nisan was when the Mishkan was dedicated. And when the Mikdash was dedicated, which was not on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it was Sukkot's time, but what does it say? It was 480 years after the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim that the Mikdash was dedicated. It's associated, you can explain that in many other ways, but now that you see this Ramban, you understand that it's coming together. But if Yetzias Mitzrayim is about, there's no gap between the heaven and the earth. Something which was originally told and demonstrated to Avraham Avinu, but then redone by Yetzias Mitzrayim. So you understand, now it puts this whole thing in a broader light. Yes, Hashem's presence was on the tent of the Avos. With the Avos, with Avraham Avinu, there was no gap between heaven and earth. That's what Hashem said. And then we went to Mitzrayim, and we were slaves to the Mitzrayim. And when we're slaves to the Mitzrayim, then that there is that gap. Right, the Torah always says, you're going to go to other lands, you're going to be enslaved to them and serve other gods. Says the Targum, you'll serve other nations and they serve those gods. So it means you're serving those gods. The idea is that the gap between Hashem, now we're just sort of lost in the system, lost in the geopolitics, lost in all of these things. But then comes Yetzias Mitzrayim. And again, there's no gap between heaven and earth anymore. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has reach down to the Bnei Yisrael to show, I'm not leaving you sort of like subject to these secondary causes and systems. Direct. And what completes that is a Mishkan where you have heaven on earth. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, it's not like, okay, well there's the world down here, then there's the sky, and then right, the Mishkan itself carries this microcosm where, come on, go in there. Besides, it's much more vividly than within the person. Just go in there, and there's a Rabbeinu Shalaylam in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's there. Hashem in the heavens? What are you talking about? Hashem's right here. Is there any greater bridge that can be built between heaven and earth? Is there anything that can show more that the Rabbeinu Shalaylam is not some removed bureaucratic scientific developer of systems, but rather one who's involved intricately and intimately, than the fact that right there is Hashem's bedroom, the Cheder Amitais, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right there. Of course we're careful, of course we're cautious about not just jumping in there, stepping in there at any specific time, but still, at the same time, we have the access, we have the possibility there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's how it completes the picture, that it's all able to be there together. The Kayan is supposed to be able to do that. If you recall, when we learn Parshas Tetzaveh, we learn about the Big Day Kahuna. So one of the things which we try to learn about often is that the Bigdei Kehuna are not just the vestments that the Kohen wears, the uniform that he wears while he serves in the Beis HaMikdash, that he should have a nice uniform, and not even a glorious uniform, the Kaved U'Tiforos. But the Bigdei Kehuna make it that it's actually not Hashras HaShechina in the building alone. Hashras HaShechina, the presence of Hashem in the people. The Kohen Gadol carries on him as his central piece, the Cheshen HaMishpat Alibay, where the word of Hashem literally comes through the words engraved upon his chest on the Cheshen Mishpat. Right? You want to hear the word of Hashem in the Midrash, where do you go? You have two options, you know? One option is to go to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu Mivein Shnei Akruvim. What was the other option? When they didn't have that, people didn't have that anymore, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't around anymore, was the Urim V'Tumim. You go to the Kohen Gadol. And the Kohen Gadol didn't speak his mind. The Kohen Gadol carried the word of Hashem upon him. And as the Ramban explains, that's the Kavod U'Tiforos. That's the deeper meaning of the Kavod U'Tiforos, is that the Shechina is on the people, on the Kohen. So we have to somehow find the Shechina in the person. And we as people, we have many different parts. And we have many different components to our systems. And sometimes we also can have sort of like worlds of separation. And it would seem somehow that the Kohen, whose job it is to bring the Korbanos in order to prime the system of the Mikdash, you know, the three levels of the Mikdash, to bring it together, which is what it is, what it's for, to show Hashem's connection, the Kohen has to vividly as well show that connection within himself. And the avodah, the consecration of the Kohen, is that the dam, the shemen, is placed from the highest parts of him to the middle parts of him to the lower parts of him. He's an olam katan, he's a small world. And just like in the big world, sometimes it could seem like those worlds are separate from each other. In the small world, it could also be like they're separate from each other. But the dam goes on all three parts. The nefesh goes in all three. Kadamu ha-nefesh. It's there to somehow incorporate, to bring together all three parts. To show how together it is. To show how integrated it is. To bring everything in. That's what we find over there by the Kohen. Make sense? The Metzaira. What the Kohen is exactly what the Metzaira isn't. The Kohen is about the ability of Mamish bringing it together, you know, heaven and earth, going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You know what the din of the Metzaira is? The Metzaira can't go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Well, who can? The Metzaira can't go into the building of the Kodesh. Well, few can. He can't go into the Azara. Well, many can. He can't even go into the Machna Leviyah. He can't even go into the ring of the Leviyim that surrounded that. He can't even go into the Machna Yisrael. The Metzaira is as distant as it gets. You couldn't be farther away. The gap is huge. Meshulach chutz l'shalosh machanos. He's all the way out on the perimeter. As a Metzaira, that's his status. It's a very interesting thing, just to be mamshech, to continue Mitzrayim. I'm not going to talk about this at length here right now, but we gave a shiur on last week, Thursday morning shiur. Mitzaira, Tzaras, as we know, comes for improper use of speech. Yetzias Mitzrayim is Pesach, right? You know, it's written in Sforim, old in the Sifrei Kabbalah, Pesach, the mouth speaks. Yetzias Mitzrayim, we do Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's a mouth utilizing Yom Tov. I mean, not just for what goes into it, right, but for what comes out of it. And it's a fascinating thing that if you look in the Chumash, and you look at the turning point of Yetzias Mitzrayim, I say the turning point, a turning point. The pasuk says as follows: "Vahiva yomar Rabbi Mohem vayomas Melch Mitzrayim." This was on after those many days. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu is in Midian. The Jewish people are enslaved in Mitzrayim. Right now, we're going to start having the beginning of the redemption. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be asked to go to Mitzrayim to take the Jewish people out. How has it started? On those days, the king of Mitzrayim died. The Jewish people sighed under the avoda and they cried, and their cries ascended to Hashem from the work. And Hashem heard their cries, and he remembered his covenant, his priesthood, his having says Yaakov, and he intervened. Vayar Elokim es bnei Yisrael, vayed Elokim. And Elokim saw the Jewish people, and he knew. Says Rashi, Nasan eina v'libo liyes meitzer aleihem. He put his eyes and his heart to concerning himself with them. Right? He involved himself with the Jewish people. He knew, he recognized. The Migdash, by the way, what's the expression Shlomo HaMelech used about the Beis HaMikdash? Einai v'libo yisham kol hayom. Hashem's eyes and his heart are focused there all the time. Right, that's the same thing of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Mikdash. But what triggered it? The king of Mitzrayim died, and the Jewish people cried out. What happened when the king of Mitzrayim died? So why did they cry out? So there are two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion is he literally died. So why did they cry out? Because what happens when the leader dies? What happens when there's a new election? Right? When there's a new president. Everybody says, oh, now that Zion gets. And then what happens? Same old, same old. Right? So people, they look forward. Vayaka melech chadash, you know, that's the expression. Right? A new king arises, maybe we'll have something new. Right? In this case. But then, more of the same, so they sighed. That's the simple shot of the pasuk. But there's another opinion in the Gemara. And what's that? That he didn't really die. Rashi brings this. Elishinitztara. He became a mitzaira. So why did they sigh? Because he was sadistic, and he took children and he slaughtered them and he bathed in their blood as a remedy, purported remedy for his tzaras. So in a sense, and then what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaches down. Kol Yisrael cries, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaches down. Here, Mitzrayim became Mitzrayim. Right? This is like the polar opposite. This is where they go to the extreme. This is the intensity of it. Parai is the ultimate Mitzayra. And in light of what we're talking about here, we understand the Mitzayra is Meshua Chutz Mishalish Machnais. He sent the farthest away. Mitzrayim? Yes. In their natural being, we're the farthest away, the most distant from the Shamayim. In Sefer Dvarim, again, we've discussed many times, in Sefer Dvarim, where it says, you're going to Eretz Yisrael, you should know it's different than Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, there's no connection with the heavens. The river Nile waters everything. But in Eretz Yisrael, you're dependent on the heavens, because you need the rains. There's a bridge between Shemayim and Eretz. When we say Kriya Shema every morning and every night, V'hayim Shemaya Tishmael Mitzvaysai, and we speak about our fate being in Eretz Yisrael, or Rachmanasan being lost from there, what is it about? We're good, we'll get the rains, we'll be able to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Heaven forbid the opposite, we lose the rains and we leave Eretz Yisrael. And then we say, remember, do the mitzvah l'man yirbu yameichem, so you'll have a long time, you and your children, on the land that Hashem promised you, kimei hashamayim alaretz, like the days of the heaven over the earth. Talking about rain. Heaven over the earth, Eretz Yisrael, heaven earth connected, Mitzrayim is earth removed from the heavens. Right? It's Eretz Nachlei Mayim. It's removed from the heavens. Parai, right? And that's the symbol. Parai becomes the Mitzayra. And then the Jewish people cry out, really. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu connects to the Jewish people. Parai the Mitzayra. The Jewish people cry out to Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu connects to us. Taras HaMetzayra. What we're learning about in this week's parsha is not the Metzayra and his Tuma. We're learning about bringing the Metzayra back. And when you bring the Metzayra back, what are you trying to do? You're trying to tell him again, bring him back into the world of connection, bring him back into the world of chibur, right, of a connection of the worlds. So maybe it makes sense, top, middle, bottom. But let's just say it one more. Let's just be a little bit stronger. The Metzaira, like the Kayan, we're talking about the Olam Katan, the person, the human being as the world. And the Metzaira, where's his problem? His problem is his Kayach HaDibur, his power of speech. His power of speech. And his power of speech has been lowered. He uses his power of speech negatively. Voiselech rochil bi'amecha. The Yisr of Lashon Hara is learned from this pasuk, rochilus. Voiselech rochil bi'amecha. I say this only b'derech efsher, and I think I saw somewhere, and some says some form that it says this. Yes, I think it's brought from the Rav Chaim Vital, perhaps, that the Baal Lashon Hara sins with his feet. The language of the pasuk is, don't go to be a reichel in your people. So what is a reichel? Is a peddler. A peddler of gossip walks and talks. Now, I want you to hear like an echo of this, of the lowering of the Koyach HaDibur, you know, so to speak, excuse me, but his foot in his mouth, you know, a lowering of the Koyach HaDibur. And the gap which one has between the higher and the lower, the Metzaira in his own way, he bridged the gap. Lamata, downward. And here, in the Taras HaMetzaira, we're trying to make the person understand the seamless connection between the higher and the lower, between the Reish, the Peh, the Eisen, right, and the Regel, from head to toe, and how a person needs to see themselves as all one, not see themselves as all on the bottom side, but somehow to see that you can't let any part of you just be an Olam outside that's down there, that's maybe controlled by some just energetic power in the middle of the heart. One continuous flow, one continuous strong flow. That's the way to see it. That's the way to perceive it. It seems, perhaps, maybe this is a little bit of a window into the common process of the tnuch, the bayan ya, the bayan regel, that's there by the kayan and that's there by the Metzaira. If we'll use Rabbeinu Bachya's understanding, we're talking about the unification of the higher and the lower, of the breaking of the gaps that exist between them. We understand that that's what the Migdash is about. And as we've learned, that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim is about. And it's about bringing the world together with the heavens. It's about which of what the Migdash is ultimately about. But it's not just something for a location in Yerushalayim. But it's something that every Olam Katan, every little person, every little world rather, every person who himself is a little world, has to accomplish this integration ourselves. We have to unite the heavens that are in us with the earthiness that is with us. In a certain sense, the power of speech is supposed to be that unity. It's supposed to be that unity. It connects the neshama, physicality, power, you know, vocal cords and everything else. It's all. But it goes in so many different directions. And the way of the Metzaira is the one which disconnects it so completely that the Metzaira is completely outside. So far away. He's far away outside from the Kodesh HaKodashim because internally his faculties have disconnected. And to bring it back together, to bring him into the Migdash, to bring him closer to the Shamayim, that's what this is about. This is what this is about. Pesach is indeed the antithesis of the Metzaira. In Pesach, through the power of speech, we bring, instead of the Metzaira who divided with speech, on Pesach the whole power of speech is to create to bridge generations, to bring people together. On Pesach we have the ultimate, right? Said once before that the ultimate of Shloisha Sha'achlu al Shulchan Echad Vyesh Beinayim Divrei Torah. There's no, right? People sometimes struggle, they sit at a table, a dining room table, even on Shabbos, or is it a Torah table? But a Seder, you know, maybe by Shulchan Aruch they might wane off a little bit, right? But the table is a table of Divrei Torah. Right? That's the unification of the lower and the higher. That's what it's so much about. That was taking them out from the Kaichavim. There's not a gap between the two. Somehow they're bridged, somehow they're unified. We should be Zaycha to celebrate Pesach. To raise our power of speech, to connect our upper and our lower parts of ourselves in the upper and the lower worlds. So we'll see in Bina Beis HaMikdash with Gula Shleima B'Mehera.